The final night of this season's last 16 was a real nail-biter. Both matches were in the balance until the final few seconds, but in the end, Dortmund went through in 90 minutes. They needed 30 more in Madrid, and then, for the second night in a row, a penalty shootout to settle the tie, where Atletico became the final team through. They join Arsenal, Barcelona, Manchester City, Real Madrid, Paris and Bayern in Friday's draw for the quarterfinals. It is quite a lineup. We'll tell you how they made it through and we'll preview the last eight over the next 30 minutes or so. So the round of 16 has concluded and it went all the way at the Metropolitano. And as we speak, the Atleti supporters are doing a lap of honour. I've rarely seen Diego Simeone this animated, and that's saying something. He had tears running down his face when they finally won the penalty shootout. Antoine Griezmann has a smile as wide as can be, and so does Jan Oblak. I'm Chris Parrott, joined by the European football journalist Kevin Hatchard. Quite a moment for Atletico, through to the quarterfinals after a compelling night against Inter, and ultimately, if you win a penalty shootout, it's still one of the best feelings in football.
I don't think I've ever seen so many tears greet a victory.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such an amazing effort. When you think that Atletico actually came into this not in great form. They've been beaten at Cadiz in La Liga. They've got a real fight on their hands to qualify for this competition for next season. Went out of the Copa del Rey to Athletic Club. And so they had to really fight. This wasn't the team that bounded into this in great form. But they went about it in the right way. They played with real intensity from the get-go. They couldn't maintain that. They were never going to. But it was a warning. It was a little jab in the ribs for Inter to say, we're here. If you're going to do this, you're going to have to fight your way through us. And even when it looked as though Inter were going to be able to win it in 90 minutes, they had chances with Thuram, with Barella, they found a way. And over the course of his tenure, Diego Simeone, time and time again, they've done that. When it seemed like the odds were impossible, they found a way to go through. And this felt like the embodiment of him. This felt like everything he's achieved at this football club.
The spirit of this club has been something to behold for the last decade or so. And Simeone, again, is just stood in almost the middle of the pitch, taking it all in. Koke, who's been at the club since a small boy, boyhood fan, in tears as well. That is how much it means for Atletico to make it through to this season's last eight. And this is how they did it. Kevin was on commentary duty alongside John Bradley for an absolute cracker as Atletico took on Inter in the last 16.
That's a lovely ball that slid forward on Barella inside the penalty. Ball by Di Marco, chance goal! It's a classic counter-attack from Inter. Season's finalists have doubled the aggregate lead. They have swept downfield. They've caught Atleti cold. And it's a wonderful slide finish by Federico Di Marco.
Comes to the edge of the penalty with slid forward. It's going to come to Griezmann, who slides the ball home on the turn. The flag has stayed down and the game is level. And that Inter goal is wiped out within a matter of seconds.
It's a really good reaction because they try and cut it out. They're not quite able to do it. Pavard is trying to clear, doesn't get enough on it, and then he swivels on his left foot, and it's beyond Zomer in a flash.
Oh, what a ball by Martinez. Thuram fires over from just inside the penalty area with the chance to end it. And the Inter players all look around and look to the heavens because that was the chance for them.
A little ball threaded through.
A shot on the turn and a wonderful goal from Memphis. Denied by the woodwork a moment ago. Not to be denied this time. And Atleti have rescued themselves right at the death. It's Atletico Madrid 2, Inter 1. We're heading for extra time, surely.
And
it will be decided by way of penalty kicks, just as it was in London last night. So two perfect ones, two misses. Now Davy Klaassen, right-footed from the edge of the penalty area, runs up. Oh, it's another save! Oblak away to his right, tips it round the post. This is astonishing. Three saves in a row. They say don't leave your best till last, but they took Çalhanoğlu first. Now Lautaro Martinez has to score. It's as simple as that. And now runs up right-footed. Oh, and he's blazed it high over the crossbar. And huge celebrations for those inside the Metropolitano. Last season's finalists have gone. Inter lose on penalties. What a comeback. What a night at the Metropolitano. There's no way Atletico Madrid were going down without a fight. They go through on penalties.
Everyone has drawn breath. John joins myself and Kevin now. I mean, it was almost a minute one. You felt like Atletico, having lost the first leg by a goal to nil, San Siro, John, came out looking like they had a point to prove and certainly not lacking belief that they could turn it around.
I mean, they're the ultimate fighters, and they always have been under Diego Simeone in this competition. They came out of the traps really quickly, looked as though they were going to get in front. Chances, particularly for Lino and for Morata. Good saves from Jan Sommer. And then to be sucker-punched on the counter-attack with the goal by Dimarco. Really lovely goal scored by Inter, who, in amongst the hullabaloo of everything that was going on and the tempo and the pace, the pressing and the pressure that was being put on them by Atletico, they looked really calm and measured and as though, we've had this done to us before, we're fine, we'll deal with it. And then he conceded a minute later. Really great finish by Griezmann, but could have been dealt with. But then even after that, you thought, they're not in any trouble here. A couple of significant moments in the second half. The miss by Thuram as he went through on goal and blasted over the top. And then the introduction of Memphis, which turned the game on its axis completely. He just caused absolute mayhem and chaos, but chaos with quality, and that was the key. He hit the inside of the post, and within a minute he'd equalised. They could have won it then with Rodrigo Riquelme right at the death, but it took us to extra time and the drama that would unfold later.
And that was actually the key. John's absolutely right. He hits the post. A lot of players would feel sorry for themselves, check out a bit mentally. He didn't. He got straight back in the box. And there's a lovely little move to take him away from De Vrij, who defended pretty well.
Knows him very well as well as a player and person.
But at this level, which is the highest there is, I believe, in football, the back end of this competition, you have a nanosecond of inattention and it will cost you. And it did, because De Vrij just lost him for a half second. The pass through to him was lovely. One touch to control and another to bang it into the bottom corner. It's a super finish. Even in extra time, I thought, you know, Atleti looked dangerous early on, but then Inter started to get control of it. But the effort from the hosts, physically, mentally, emotionally, everything, sensational.
It's the first late goal that Inter have conceded in any competition they've played in all season. The first goal beyond the 76th minute they've conceded, which shows, you know, how impressive that late show was from Atletico.
Inter came into the game off the back of 13 straight wins. They are 16 points clear in Serie A, having an incredible season. So often nowadays, given the effort and the pressing that we see in the modern game, extra time can be quite slow sometimes. Not this game. No. I mean, it kind of carried on at exactly the same pace, which was, from a neutral perspective, I mean, it was a joy to watch. Who knows how they found those energy reserves, though. From both teams, actually, it was an amazing effort.
Well, I thought where Atletico was smart was they realised, and Simeone obviously realised, you can press in waves, but you can't do it the whole way through. So what they did was they pressed in kind of, you know, spells of the game, then gave themselves a breather, tried to stay with it when Inter were allowed to have the ball, allowed to knock the ball around. And they made the most of their opportunities once they had won those balls high up the pitch. So it was really smart performance, an intense performance. And we've talked a lot down the years about how does this Atletico Madrid team evolve, because we know about all the work without the ball. We know how organised they are. We know how aggressive they can be. What we don't always know is how dangerous they can be in attack. I actually felt all the way through tonight, this was an Atletico team that carried a threat. And that's what brings us on to a guy that we haven't really talked about so far, who is Antoine Griezmann.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that came in having not played since the first leg.
A doubt for...
Who was a doubt for the game, had an ankle injury. For the first 20 minutes, you looked at him and you wondered, is he fit? Is he a player that has enough rhythm to affect this game? And from that moment on, he dominated the game. He scored the goal. Once they'd got back to 2-1 and 2-2 on aggregate, he nearly won it because he jabbed an amazing ball through to Raquel May, who blazed over the top. And I just thought his leadership, his intelligence, his movement, his willingness to track back. There was one moment where he went all the way from his own penalty area to the edge of the other penalty area, went in for a sliding challenge, made a block and won the ball back for his team. He is, for me, the ultimate Simeone player.
And he was quite literally dancing on the pitch at the end. He and Simeone were arm in arm. We saw over the course of the shootout, John, the emotion in the stands, but the emotion on the pitch in that Atletico, I mean, we kind of touched on it already, but it felt telling to me that, you know, this, they've been in finals, that they've won European competitions under Simeone, but this clearly tonight meant something very special to this group of players.
I think this is the last ride of this current crop of players together at Atleti. We've seen changes in wide areas and younger players come in, but if you look through the nucleus of the team, Savic over 30, Koke over 30, all these players that have come together and have played for so many years together, they're either very late 20s or they're in their 30s now, and for me it feels like this is the last ride for them before it's got to evolve, because it's going to have to evolve soon. If Simeone is going to stay and work with the players moving forward, there's going to have to start to be a change and younger players brought in. But this group of players have experience. They know each other so well. They have that bond. They have that unity. And that's what came through ultimately in the end tonight.
And what's quite nice as well, John talks about that evolution. He's absolutely right. Rodrigo Riquelme came on and affected the game. Barrios came on. Samuel Lino has been one of their best players this season. And so they've got some of these guys coming through. Griezmann's obviously gone away and come back and is playing absolutely sensational football. You know, in the last year, last 18 months, he's been brilliant. So they're getting that blend, but John's right, they've got real veterans in there as well.
And quite handy, the goalkeeper's probably got about another 10 years left in him as well.
At least.
He was the UEFA player of the match. Of course, he was the hero in the shootout. He made a number of great saves as well. Jan Oblak, one of the best around. Diego Simeone closing in on 700 matches in charge, but the passion for his football club at the end, of course, he wasn't into player early on in his career, but it was there for all to see. Great celebrations for him, and congratulations for Atletico, who are in Friday's draw for the Champions League quarter-final after some night at the Metropolitano. It was equally as thrilling in many ways in Germany as well, and it's time now to look back on Wednesday's other second leg, where Borussia Dortmund and PSV came into the night tied 1-1 after the first leg in Eindhoven. It wasn't long before the deadlock was broken, as Richard Connolly describes.
Chance here for the shot from the edge, and it's there! Jadon Sancho has scored for Dortmund! A low shot, beautifully placed right into the corner, and only 3 minutes in, it's the dream start for Dortmund. Sancho delivers, it's Dortmund 1, PSV 0. Here's Dest for PSV down the left-hand side. Lozano shooting chance. Oh, he's hit it well, and he's hit the outside of the post. Erving Lozano, as close as PSV have come. It had the beating of Kerbel, and it struck the metalwork and went away. Here come PSV. Luke de Jong has put it over the top. 7 metres out, right in front of goal. It bounced up a little awkwardly, and he couldn't keep his his knee over the ball and keep it down, and that might be PSV's last chance. Oh, PSV have slipped at the back. Royce is in to finish it for Dortmund, and the grand adventure will go on. Marco Royce seals their place in the quarterfinals, and there is great relief all around this wonderful stadium and a pile of yellow-shirted players in the corner. With what might prove the last kick, Marco Royce sends Dortmund through. It's Dortmund 2, PSV 0, 3-1 overall.
Richard joins us now to discuss this one. And as we heard, Richard, I mean, PSV had a major chance to take it to extra time, but then almost a bit like Atletico, it was one of Dortmund's heroes who's been at the club almost forever that came up with that crucial moment right at the end to secure their place in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, talking of greats of the past, just as in the Atletico game, Memphis Depay came up trumps late on, so his old club were desperate for something to come up trumps in Dortmund this evening, but not to be. Luke de Jong had that big chance, a very capable goal scorer, as we know, but just leaning back a fraction, sent it over the crossbar, and there was the very late confirmation with the goal well taken by Marco Royce, who joyously sent Borussia Dortmund through. Did they deserve it? Well, they could argue that the start that they made to this second leg was critical. 25 minutes where PSV were completely blown away, and Dortmund could have had two or three goals during that time. But in the rest of the game and in the rest of the tie as a whole, PSV will feel that they had much of the momentum. And in the end, strangely to say, for a team, PSV this is, that have scored 107 goals in all competitions this season, the one goal they had to show from 3 hours of football was a penalty kick. And that tells you everything about the quality of their play over the two games in the final third and their inability to finish their chances. And Dortmund on that score will say they deservedly went through.
Yeah, PSV having a almost historically good season in the Eredivisie are almost certain to lift the title and are going to have a brilliant campaign. But we can hear from their boss, Peter Bosch, now after they were knocked out.
It's about scoring goals. And if you don't do it, it's hard to win. We played well, especially the second half. We had the opportunities to score, but we failed. And then in the end, you lose. Normally, it's not a problem. We score a lot of goals in our championship, but this is another level. Maybe the pressure is a bit bigger. And that's why I'm a bit disappointed. Not in the players, because I'm proud of them, the way they played in the second half and the way we fought it and until the end. But we can do better, and that's why I'm a bit disappointed. But OK.
Peter Bosch there, very honest. And you sense that when PSV look back at this campaign, Kevin, and they hadn't won a Champions League game actually for some time before this season. It began at Arsenal with a heavy loss. To be that close to a first quarter final since 2007, when they're back in the new look Champions League next season, these experiences and that defeat tonight, it might be something that they will look back and grow from and come back even stronger.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And there are positives you can take, you know, to come to Dortmund and play in the way that they did and to create the chances they did is positive. But also, it will sting. And it will sting in the way that it stings for Inter, because you know when you come off that pitch, if you've been blown away 5-0 or something like that, sometimes you shrug your shoulders and say, OK, fine. But that didn't happen. And they had the chances and they didn't take them. And same with Inter. They'll look back for a long time, I think, and think maybe if we'd been a bit more clinical, it might have been different. In the midst of that, by the way, there was an unbelievable save from Gregor Kobel, mm-hmm. from Bakayoko, who spun, got a shot away, and it was such a big, strong hand to turn that ball away. So that was a key moment as well. But, yeah, no, not quite. And at this level, it's brutal.
Well, we've mentioned Dortmund goalkeeper Gregor Kobel. We can hear from him now. He had a very, very good night. He says the two halves of football, though, felt very different.
a start with a lot of energy. We had chances after chances. I think we won almost every second ball. We played really, really good from behind. We had a lot of options. After, like, I think it was like 30 minutes, I think they defended a little bit different. They went with one man higher, so we had to overplay a little bit more. But I think we need to improve as a team with the second balls to be an option after the long ball. I think this is a big topic that we have to make better as a team. I try to help my team all the time as good as I can. I'm always happy when I have some actions as well, and I can be involved in the game. So for me it feels good, and I have to make a big compliment for the team as well. I mean, it's not easy to defend 45 minutes like we did, but we showed it a lot of times now that we are able to hold off an opponent for a whole half.
Came through a very, very difficult section, topped it ahead of Paris, Milan and Newcastle, and now they are one of the best eight teams in Europe. How big is this for Borussia Dortmund, Kev?
It changes the whole dynamic of their season, because I think what it does is it changes what could be construed as a disappointing season. They haven't laid a glove on Bayer Leverkusen this season. They're well behind Bayern München as well. So in the league, considering how close they came to winning the Meisterschale last season, they haven't performed in the way they wanted. They've still got a fight in their hands to qualify for this competition next season. But this run in the Champions League is huge for the club financially, huge for the club in terms of, you know, being a really recognisable club at this level. They've had a few ties where they haven't quite progressed and they've just come up a bit short. So this is big to get to the last eight. And it's also a big boost for Edin Terzic, the coach, as well, because, you know, this does his reputation no harm at all to get to the last eight of European football's premier competition. So, yeah, it is absolutely huge for Dortmund.
Some compliments, guys, for some of the older guard, if I may. Tonight, Niklas Süle, playing at right back, was really up against it. Malik Tillman, Serginho Dest running at him. Irving Lozano late in the piece as well. He ended up on a yellow card, but he stood his ground really well all night. Up front, Niklas Füllkrug was really excellent. He didn't have a great deal to go at, but he held the play up at times really well, provided Dortmund with breathing space, very nearly scored a goal that would have sealed it a bit earlier than Dortmund actually did, was offside by a shirt sleeve. But his general all-round team play was terrific. And then to add to that, they have guys like Daniel Malen, who played a really good hour. And Jadon Sancho, I'm not sure if you've heard of him, but my goodness, in a Dortmund shirt, he's starting to deliver again.
He really is. Great goal. And we can hear from him now, the official UEFA player of the match, Jadon Sancho.
Coming into the game, we knew it was going to be tough, but I felt like coming into this game, we always had the advantage because we're playing in front of our home fans. And, you know, from the beginning of the game, I just knew from the dressing room team talk, we was on it. And, you know, from the first whistle to the last, you know, we just stuck at our game plan. And, you know, I'm just happy that we got the win. I've always got a special place for Borussia Dortmund. You know, this is where I kind of made my name. So I got to be grateful to them, but also to my teammates, you know, just, you know, believing in me. And, I'm just happy that we got the win today.
So 16 teams entered this stage, 8 have ultimately emerged, and here's a reminder of the 6 other clubs joining Dortmund and Jadon Sancho and Atletico in the quarterfinals of this year's Champions League.
He's got 3 to his left here, Leroy Sané goes for goal, the rebound comes to Kane, who scores for Bayern, and that might just put them into the quarterfinals again.
It's Mbappe for Paris, 2-0, Kylian Mbappe double.
On his left foot, got the shot away, big deflection, another goal for City.
Bellingham waits for the options, finds Vinicius Junior, wonderful goal! Oh, that is Real Madrid quality all over!
Back for Sergio Roberto, squares it there for Lewandowski, to touch it in, and that might well be the goal that sends Barcelona through.
Saved by David Raya, the save that means that Arsenal are through to the quarterfinals of the Champions.
It's a pretty stellar lineup in 2024, and the draw is on Friday at 12. Noon CT. Also, we'll find out the potential semi-final pairings as well, so everyone can map their route to Wembley and London. OK, round table to finish off the last 16. Kev, you first. Who's impressed you most in the last 16?
I think in terms of the effort it took to get through, the most impressive performance was this one from Atletico Madrid. Over the two legs against the champions of Italy, potentially, well, they will. They're going to win Serie A. So they are going to be the champions of Italy, whichever way you look at it. Against the best team in Italy, let's say, they showed such grit, determination, quality. So that was the most impressive display. People might say, well, Manchester City did really well against Copenhagen, but that doesn't tell us much about Manchester City. This told us a hell of a lot about Atletico Madrid.
I'm going to plump for Bayern München, guys. I saw their second leg victory over Lazio. And while it wasn't them at their brilliant best, it was the engine just starting to move through the gears. Players coming back to fitness who we know are capable of more. Experienced players coping, maybe playing a little bit out of position. Young players, Musiala comes prominently to my mind, with wonderful one-on-one ability. Pavlovic in the midfield, stepping up on a big occasion, absorbing pressure to get past Lazio. Yeah, it wasn't the Lazio team that was really at its best. But Bayern just struck me as a team that were beginning to move towards the level that they hope to achieve at this time of the season, that they're going to improve when it matters most, when the trophies are handed out. And yes, they're not going to win the Bundesliga this season, but they are still in with a shout in this Champions League, no question.
I think it's wonderfully open this year right now. What I would say is that having done Manchester City's game in the park and in the first leg in Copenhagen, that's a horrible place to go and play, really awkward, where they don't lose many games. They'd already had good performances and good results there in the group stage, and Manchester City performed like it was a pre-season friendly, with very relaxed in their approach to the game. They won it at ease, as they should have won the tie, because that's what we expect from them. But it was the manner in which they approached it, very professional, and they just cruised through it, and they are going to be very, very dangerous, as we know.
Absolutely. Nobody will want to draw the defending champions in the last eight. John, Kevin, Richard, thank you very much. The final word then of the evening will go to the two goalkeepers who are ultimately involved in the penalty shootout at the Metropolitano. And first we can hear from the disappointed goalkeeper ultimately. He had a very, very good night. Here is Inter's keeper, Jan Sommer.
We had some good chances in this game to maybe score one more goal, but it's on this high level, it's like this, and it was a hard fight and on both sides. It's important now that, of course, now we are disappointed, of course, after a game like this, and we lost, we are out of Champions League. But we have to take our head up. We have important games in front of us, and we have a really, really, really good team. And tonight it was like this, and we go through. So sometimes it's like this in football. We have to take it now, and take our head up.
And Thomas opposites. Number was, of course, the Atletico goalkeeper Jan Oblak, the UEFA player of the match, having starred in the shootout to send them through.
Wonderful night. It's always nice when you pass the quarterfinals of Champions League. So I'm very, very happy for the team, because I think we did a great, great match. We play well. Maybe in the last month we are not in such a good shape, but today we show again that we can do much more. And happy for the team, and I hope we're gonna continue like that.
So we now know the eight teams who are just four matches and two rounds away from a Champions League final at Wembley in London. Atletico and Dortmund join Arsenal, Bayern, Barcelona, Manchester City, Paris Saint-Germain and Real Madrid in the quarter-finals. It's a pretty stellar list. 27 titles between them, would you believe? We can't wait for the last eight to begin. And Match Day Live will be back from 8 p.m. CEST when it does on Tuesday the 9th of April. And don't forget, you can download this podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, for me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Champions League Matchday Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.